So it is December, which also means today is the beginning of Advent. We're heading, oh yeah, thank you, Apex, grade 6 to 8. It is time for you to get down. There was two right here and they're gone, so that's a start. Apex downstairs. Hope you guys have a great time. As I was saying, today is the first day of Advent. Advent being this Latin word that means coming or arrival. We are not in the season of Christmas. We're in the season of Advent, of longing and promise and hope toward the coming of God to redeem and restore the world. As part of our Advent tradition, we do an Advent offering, something for the sake of the world. And I just want to, this is not on my page. Usually we start it today because today's the first Sunday, but we're not. Because we haven't come to a firm decision on what it needs to be on. And I am convinced that we all are asked to give to a lot of things. And I'm not a fan of saying just because we have a tradition of doing something, we're going to make something up and ask you to give money. And so we're still talking and praying about where the greatest need is for us to give as a year-end Advent offering. And so that's why we're not doing it today, because I don't want to just ask you to give just because. So I hope you can respect that. I think that matters. So next week we'll talk about it. I trust we'll be there then, but we're not there yet. Let's pray as we shift gears to the message for this morning. Living God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, as we have named, it is Advent, and in that we know that we long for your reign, God, for the good and just and life-giving reign of you, God, in all, in us, and in all and over all. And we just open ourselves and bow to you again today. And we say together, come, thou long-expected Jesus, and bring your kingdom in its fullness. It is what we need. It is what our world needs today, God, across the globe, women and men, in all places, in all situations, including us. We thank you that you are present with us today, that you have come, and you are with us by your Spirit. And we just give you one another as we step into this moment to listen and receive some more of what you want for us today. We bow to you with our shared need, and we ask that you would meet us here. Not just me, but us, God. For these women and men around us and across from us, Lord, would you give them ears to hear your voice as much as you would us today? Would you meet us in the holy gift of community? Amen. Well, my name is Scott Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here, if you're new with us or slipping in. This morning, we'll go where it goes. I'll say that. On this first Sunday of Advent, which we will officially shift our attention to next week, we actually come to the conclusion of our fall discipleship intensive, Rooted. Many of you know what this is, maybe some of you don't, but we've been in a 10-week discipleship intensive that has been a Sunday teaching series, but deeper than that for many, it's been a personal journey, an engagement with God through a daily study, through groups who have been talking and praying and sharing their journey together, and also some get-out-there acts along the way. Back in the last Sunday of August, in another pivot moment between one season and the next, we concluded our summer study in the Psalms with a reflection on Psalm 63, verse 1. Many of us know that psalm. Psalm 63, verse 1 is probably already on the screen, but I don't have it yet, so I will not read it off the screen. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you, in a dry and parched land where there is no water. We explored that Sunday. We acknowledge that we are all thirsty for God. That's what the psalm tells us. And it's what our souls tell us. We are all thirsty for God. It's part of being human. It's part of what Advent invites us to name. We've all been created to thirst for God and God's life to be our life. Not that we always feel this thirst. Truth is, we sometimes lose touch with our thirst. We sometimes misdirect it. We sometimes confuse it for other thirsts, and having done that for so long, sometimes we can deaden our thirst. God tells us in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, that we have drunk from our own wells. We're thirsty for God, and yet that God says in Jeremiah, we have dug our own cisterns. We have forsaken the spring of living water, and we have dug our own cisterns, cisterns that cannot hold water. But underneath, we do this because we are all thirsty for God. So the question is not, are we thirsty, but what are we doing with our thirst? And so back then, on that Sunday, I asked the question, what will we do with our thirst for God this season? What will we do with our thirst for God? How will we seek to satisfy our thirst with God? How will we seek to cultivate our thirst for God? And in the context of that, we presented this thing, this journey called Rooted, as a way for us to intentionally and explicitly do this, to not just say, oh, I really hope that this fall or this year I grow. I really hope, I wish, I hope that somehow something happens so that this year I grow with Christ and I grow with others. But for us to deliberately seek it together, to deliberately invest in it through engagement in this journey called Rooted, as a personal journey, as a shared journey, as a communal journey. Though most of us had really no idea what we were getting into, right? Back when you were signing up for it, those of you that did, you didn't know what you were getting into. And I'm sure there's moments, although there were definitely moments along the way that could have been better. From early on, as I have listened around the life of our church, there's been this affirmation that it has been worth it. I know in my group, we had a crowd at our house, 15 people, bigger than we expected. It wasn't going to be that big. And then the day of, I called a couple of folks and said, hey, you're new to Lambrick and you seem to be saying you want to be in community. How come you didn't sign up? Join our place. And they did, and we had to find more chairs. But I know in our group, a huddle of disconnected strangers who sat beside and across from one another in worship slowly became a caring, honest Christian community that didn't just meet on Wednesdays but cared for each other beyond that. Community where Christ and the pursuit of Christ is at the center. And I've heard this among many of us. And every time my heart says, amen, this is what we are about, building redemptive community, intentional discipleship, everyday mission. And it's been awesome to see it happening in bits and pieces around us. I've watched people lean into God, engage with God, and not just here and there, but more and more, week in, week out. And the fruit is starting to show in some of us. I've heard stories of this from others. And for all the critique that we could give of Rooted, and there is some to be given, I am so thankful that we said yes to this journey. I'm thankful for God has cultivated our thirst and satisfied our thirst with himself. And as we look beyond this, as we look beyond Rooted, I am praying for you, for us. We're heading into this Advent and Christmas pause or craziness, and then a new season begins. And the question for us is not, what's the next package that someone's going to give us, but what has been fruitful? What are the essential core practices that we have engaged in this fall, personally and together, that have connected us more deeply to Christ and connect us more deeply to others that we need to keep moving in? To pursue? What are the ways in which we will grab a hold of someone else's arm and run toward Christ as a way of life, not just a 10-week program? Because as we said back on that day in the late August, workbooks don't make disciples. Programs don't make disciples, but Jesus does. And disciples do when we come together to pursue Christ together. So that's what we sought to do this fall. And the fruit is starting to show. And this morning I want, as a piece of this morning, to just say a huge thank you to all of you who were leaders in this journey. Because this wouldn't have happened if men and women did not open their homes and open their hearts and say, I'm going to reprioritize some things. Or I'm not going to reprioritize, but I'm going to try desperately to do everything and lead a group. And so I just want to thank all of you that led Rooted Groups. And can I ask anyone that led a group to stand? You are here. Please stand. Yeah, please stand. Thank you. Whether you're still standing or sitting, that's, yeah, go for it. But we mean it. Thank you. Thank you for your faithful, persistent, sacrificial leadership through a journey that you had no chance to prepare for. They didn't. That you had no idea what you're getting into until you sat in my living room late in September, about a week before it launched, and I started to help you make sense of it. And all of you looked at me with this, oh, really? But also this sense of something's going to happen here. That nothing changes if we keep doing more of the same. But as we lean in for a season, and as you contribute as leaders, something could happen here. If we can draw near to Jesus, if we can lean in with a crowd of others, something might start happening, and it's been happening. So thank you for taking the risk. In saying yes, for loving others, for serving us this fall. It has been a significant responsibility. I know that because Janet and I led a group ourselves. And there was lots of surprises along the way. And there's still 1 week left. But through it all, I think the message of the final theme of Rooted has been proven in action. That the church matters. That the living, breathing body of Christ matters more than we realize. Week 10, the final study in Rooted, asks the question, why is the church important? And for all of our understandable attempts to constantly shift the focus from the church to Jesus, and I'm one of those people, this is not about churchianity. This is about Jesus. This is not about being devoted above all to religious acts. This is about being devoted to Jesus. For all of our understandable attempts to shift the focus away from the church to Jesus, none of us would know Jesus today if not for the church. The community through whom God has chosen to make himself known in our day, right? This is how God does it. The incarnation is not just a Christological matter. It is a Christian matter. The incarnation, the Word becoming flesh, is how God does what he does. Truth is, none of us would be a Christian today if not for the church, and not just the church universal or mystical, but some local church, some imperfect, but empowered, living body of Jesus today. None of us would have come to faith without the witness of someone. None of us would have come to faith without the Word of God being written or spoken or put out on the airwaves by someone. Without the life of Jesus being embodied by someone, somewhere. And not just come to faith, but grown up in faith, grown up in Christ. As the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love, that's a community act, one to another, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Christ, of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. See again and again the sharedness, the body of Christ, that is core to the building up of any one person in Christ. Not only is our faith in Christ dependent upon the grace of God alive in the church, but our growing up in Christ is bound up in the life of a church, a messy, imperfect community in which God has chosen to dwell by grace. As many have said before, the church is not peripheral to what God is doing in the world today. The church is not peripheral to the gospel. Rather, the church is at the very heart of what God is doing in our world today and how he chooses to do what he does through his people, seeking and following him. And so this morning, I want to celebrate this, not by preaching through it or on it, but by example, by taking this opportunity to officially commission and pray for a few new elders and to take a few minutes to express our thanks as a community to those who have served as elders in the past. So I want to invite Louis Chen and John DeYoung and Don Crawford, the chair of our elders, to come up to the front. About a month ago, I'm not sure how long ago it was, about a month ago, we had a post-service SGM, special general meeting, after a five-year new eldership process. Just kidding. But a really long eldership process, nomination process. And at that post-service, we prayerfully voted. But it wasn't a vote. It was a moment of affirmation after a journey of discernment. An affirmation of Louis Chen and of John DeYoung to join the elders into the next chapter of our life. And this morning I want us to formally and officially commission them. Now, I don't know if you feel like, oh, Scott, come on, preach. But community preaches. And I would say there are times where we need these holy acts. I come into this moment very aware that vows are sacred things. There's nothing as beautiful as a moment of baptism, hearing someone declare how the grace of God has won them over and them speaking back a public, holy, tender vow. There's nothing like seeing a husband and wife declare vows to each other. And there is something sacred about moments of calling where we affirm people in the life of the church into leadership. Because leadership matters a ton. And we know that in our bones. So, I have some words that have been prepared. And then I have some questions for you. And then I have a question for you. The community that is embracing John and Louis as elders, and then a prayer. And then there's more. So Louis and John, today in the presence of God and these witnesses, your church, we come to recognize and affirm the leading and calling of God upon your lives to serve in leadership as elders at Lambrick Park Church in this next season of our life. In this, we acknowledge two things today. One, that this is a holy calling, which requires the grace and empowerment of the Spirit and deserves our grace, support, partnership, and prayer. And second, that just like the rest of us, you are merely human. You are our brothers in Christ and in need of ministry and grace as much as anyone. In this knowledge, we affirm today that what you are called to and what we are asking of you is not to be perfect, all wise, or able to save, but to faithfully help us be a church that seeks and follows the one who is perfect, who is all wise, who is able to save. Into this calling, we come to charge and affirm you today. Hear the exhortation of the Apostle Paul in Acts 20:28, which we will come back to many times as elders. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. They build on each other. And I invite you, after each one, to respond. I will. You could withhold an answer, but then you wouldn't be standing here. So you have already indicated that you will. So don't back out now. Lewis and John. Will you give yourselves wholeheartedly to your calling as an elder in this community? Will you keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer? Will you shepherd the people of God, which Christ has bought with his own blood? Will you seek to discern and follow the Spirit's leading as you work with others for the good of the church? Will you seek to protect Lambrick, its people, and its leaders in regards to its life, relationships, and doctrine? Will you serve as a leader and lead as a servant, not lording it over others, but serving to build up others and the body of Christ as a whole? And will you devote yourselves to the glory of God, seeking to set an example in following Christ as you seek to lead Lambrick in the same? To you, the church, Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Will you honor and support? Submit and pray for Lewis and John in their role as elders in this community, recognizing that they have been called to this role of leadership not only by us, but by the Spirit of a living God. If so, please say, we will. Did you hear that? Yes. Don, would you put a hand on John? In the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome and commission you as elders in this church. May God bless you and keep you. May he shine his face upon you and give you his peace. And may he lead you as you serve in leadership in this church for his glory, for your joy, and for the good of the church and the world. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Welcome. John.
Thank you. Excellent.
You stay. John's going to stay here. I have another page here regarding Don. We've been joking that today is his decommissioning. Yeah. What do they do when they commission a boat? You know, they break a bottle against it and stuff. What do you do when they decommission a boat? Sink it. We are not sinking you today, Don. I'll just read from what I've written. Don Crawford. Today, in the presence of God and these witnesses, your church, we acknowledge and affirm your wholehearted service in leadership as an elder for the last 6 years, and before that, in other seasons as an elder, staff, and pastor, and brother in Christ, though you in no way are being decommissioned as a brother in Christ. Reflecting on what these years have involved, we acknowledge today that leadership is not for the faint of heart. It takes courage, grace, perseverance, faith, hope, and fierce love. And you have demonstrated all of these along the way. Church life and leadership can be a storm sometimes. And standing up in that storm as an elder is a dangerous task. Sometimes it is harder than anyone can know, rife with misunderstanding on many sides, yet desperately needed for the glory of God and for the good of the church. So today, as you officially step aside from eldership once again, we thank you for your service and leadership, for your sacrifice in season and out, and for your perseverance and faith. Thank you for not giving up on Lambrick in the hardest moments. And thank you personally for your gracious understanding of me, of the storms and wounds of my past, and for believing that God could meet me and use me here. I don't know if I would be here if not for some of the work that you have done and for your partnership in this first season of my time with Lambrick. In the name of Jesus Christ, we honor and bless you for your years of faithful service as an elder to Lambrick Park Church. And we release you into a new chapter in your life among us. May God bless you and keep you and Karen. May he shine his face upon you and give you his peace. And may he meet you among us as you continue to walk with us, your church, for his glory and for your joy. Amen. Amen. One last part. Over the last while, as I have prayed and reflected on commissioning Lewis and John and welcoming them into eldership, and reflected on and prayed toward thanking Don for his years of service, I have been struck with appreciation for all those who have served as elders down through the years, in season and out. I've been struck with the reality that not every season in the life of the church is as affirming as we feel in many ways right now. Not to say everything right now is awesome, but there's good reason for encouragement. And yet those who have served in another season, including the harder days, and maybe in particular the harder days, were no less wholehearted in their faith, no less devoted in their leadership, no less sacrificial in their contribution, dependent upon the Spirit, and deserving of our thanks and our honor today. As I expressed in my remarks to Don, church life and leadership can be a storm sometimes. And standing up in that storm as an elder is a dangerous task. Sometimes it is harder than anyone can know, rife with misunderstanding on all sides, yet desperately needed for the glory of God and for the good of the church. And so today, along with commissioning Lewis and John and thanking and decommissioning Don, I want to ask all those of you who have served as elders over the years to rise right now. If you have been an elder in this church, please stand. And keep standing, okay? Mel Zerkowski. Peter Hildebrand. It's good to see you, Peter. Craig Hammond. Tim Bogle. I didn't know you were an elder until just the other day. I was looking back through our AGM reports over the last season. Rick Johnson. Don Crawford. Jerry Brower. Richard Larkin. Active elder these days. Chris Burgess. Active elder. And Jason Hart. There's many others. If you want to check with me, I have a long list here. Some have gone on to be with the Lord. Some who are serving in other churches. Some who are worshiping in other churches. And I want us to just express our deep thanks. I want today to express our deep thanks for your service. For the ways you served our church with love and faith. For the ways you stood up in the storm for us. For the ways you prayed and labored for us late into the night, lost sleep at times, woke up in the night and could not fall back to sleep because of us and your role as an elder. Thank you for working behind the scenes for us. Thank you for bleeding for us and loving us and being willing to be misunderstood at times for us. Thank you for fighting for us, for the good of this church, our leaders, and our people. And so today I applaud you and I thank you. And we do. Can we? Have a seat. We honor you today with gratitude for your seen and unseen contributions. And I hope, because the list is long, and I am very aware that there are some elders that have served among us who no longer worship with us. Because the journey was that hard. And I hope that as we go about life, maybe today, and we run into people in the grocery store or at Cadbury Bay Village tonight or whatever when they do their Christmas stuff or wherever you are. If you run into someone who's served as an elder in this church, would you as well stop and thank them and convey our blessing and thanks to them? I think we need to continue to honor and thank, restore the honor maybe. Of some, of many, of all. I had you sit down, but I'd like you to stand back up because I want to pray. I know you don't want to, but do it. Stand back up. All of you. Sure. Do it. All of you. Why not? I meant the elders, but please stand as well. Let's stand. Let's stand. Do it. Let's be a community. To those of you that have served as elders, in the name of Jesus Christ, we honor and bless you for your years of faithful service as elders within the body that is Lambert Park Church. We thank God for you and those who served with you. May God bless you and keep you. May he shine his face upon you and give you peace. And may he meet you among us as you continue to walk with us, your church, for his glory and for your joy. Let me continue in prayer. Living God, we thank you for your mercy and grace to us. We thank you for these individuals and so many more, women and men, across the life of our church, right now, down through many years, in every season, who by the grace of your love have stepped up and bowed low and served in the life of our church, who have been the hands and the feet and the voice and the presence and the faithfulness and the perseverance of Christ on your behalf to us. And we thank you today. I know that all of us have spent time in some other church, probably all of us. And we thank you, God, that you have chosen in your mystery to cause the treasure of Christ to dwell in jars of clay like us and the churches that we make up. And we pray today for the churches across our city. And we ask that you would shine the treasure of Christ through the broken jars that we are. Lord, where we have wounds from the body of Christ, lead us to seek peace. Lead us to practice grace as you do with us. Lead us to lean upon, as we sang and as Chris mentioned, the all-sufficient merit of Christ that allows us to come to one another as fellow sinful, broken Christians in need of restoration. Oh God, by your Spirit, dwell among us and glorify yourself, God. We thank you for your grace in the life of your church, and we bless you today. Amen.